Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, and he's his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done everything. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
All right, welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. Happy Memorial Day. Hope everybody's having a great holiday weekend. Rajah and I are out, but our boy Debo has put together a collaboration unlike any other. It's the best of our five-star Q&A. Every Friday, we take your questions in our iTunes review section. You leave us a five-star review, ask us a question, anything you want, and we will answer it. So after 74 episodes, we have a treasure trove of answers that you will be thoroughly entertained with, I promise. Shout out to our boy Robin ATL and CB Morning, two of the best questions that we've ever received, and those guys bring it every single time. Hope you guys enjoy the episode.
This is my favorite part of the week. We do our five-star Q&A. So it's right. five-star Q&A Friday, which is when if you go on to Apple Podcasts, rate us as 5 stars, subscribe to the show, and in the review, you ask us a question. We will answer those questions. So okay. We got some good ones this week, right, Debo?
Yeah.
All right, so let me start.
Yeah.
All right.
I like this one.
All right. Danny, the question is, would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 15 duck-sized horses? I can barely even read the sentence.
No weapons.
Yeah, that has to be cleared up all the time. I would say I'm going to fight the 15 duck-sized horses. You always go smaller.
Yeah.
Because you could kick them. You can get them out of the way. Just stomp on them. One horse-sized duck, like anything horse-sized, their horses are huge.
Horses are huge. Ducks have those beaks.
I am terrified of a horse as it is. If it was the size of a duck, I wouldn't want any. Or no, flipped around. I can't keep track of which is which. All I know is I'm taking the 15 smaller things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can take those down. What about you? What would you take down?
I'm taking the smaller ones, bro. Ducks,
no brainer.
Ducks are nasty.
Yeah,
like, you think that like they've got these claws on the end of those web feet?
Yeah,
if they were the size of a horse, like one of those things would like impale you. And their beaks are nasty. I'm taking the little things too.
Shout out to our guy Bauer Sauce on Twitter.
Nice.
From the Hager, H-E-G-E-R. You pronounce it. I don't know how it goes. They say having larger hands in basketball and football is a huge advantage. What players did you play with or against that had smaller hands but were still stars? Besides Kobe, coming in here.
Besides Kobe, Kobe had small hands. I don't know. Is that it? Might have been a joke.
I think it was.
I don't know. I never really looked at my opponent's hands.
I don't know.
But I'll tell you what. When I was in the front office with Cleveland, Tristan Thompson has small hands, and he's not like a star, so I don't know. But this is the only thing that I can draw on. Tristan had small hands, and like when I got there, people in the front office would tell me that Tristan didn't finish great around the rim. Like he wasn't a great finisher. And some of that had to do with the fact that a lot of the times he had to go up with both hands with that ball to protect it because he couldn't hold it with one. And so it would make it vulnerable to deflections or blocks and so on and so forth. So, you could see the effect that it had on his ability to finish around the rim because his hands were smaller.
I think, yes, it's an advantage if you have them, but there's exceptions to every rule. I would not, if I had seen a guy on film, perform to a high level and throw a football or shoot a basketball, I could care less what size his hand was.
Yeah.
You know, like if the guy's shown me he can do it at a competitive level and succeed, I'm not going to hold it against him.
Not an issue.
Say, oh, well, maybe it doesn't translate. No.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the most over-evaluated things.
The case has also been made for guys like Shaq and those guys' hands being too big.
Right.
That's why they can't shoot free throws.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like shooting like a pool cue, like
right,
a pool ball.
Or a golf ball.
Right.
Last one from Taco Torres. He says, what is your go-to song to get you pumped up before a big event? And what would your kids say about that song right now?
Oh, it's a good one.
So I actually use some of these for my daughters, like when we're driving them to volleyball or basketball or whatever event, swim meet, whatever they have.
Right.
So I'll use Jump Around from House of Pain.
Yeah.
Like they love it because it's kind of fun and it's upbeat. I don't know. What do you got?
I had a catalog, I guess, of songs. I don't remember them all, but there was one, a T.I. song called Motivation that like I used to like to listen to like if I was getting ready for something really serious. My kids, typically when I put on stuff that I like, they're a little more like cool with it now, but they like this mumble rap BS. So they're into all this bad hip hop.
I also had J. Cole.
Yeah.
All right. I also had Jay-Z public service announcement. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was good.
That one up. So many of them though, like my kids, like I gotta be careful. Even House of Pain, jump around. Like there's probably like up, we like skip through it.
DanCan21 said, "What's the craziest recruiting trip story both of you have heard?" I know you have one, Raja, so let's do this.
But there's some stuff that I've heard on recruiting trips that I can't really repeat. Like we lived in Miami, so guys would come down here and you know they go to the beach and you know use your imagination with some of that. But my wildest one was probably when I was a sophomore at Boston University, and I was a pretty good player, and my coaches thought, you know, it'd be good for me to show around another like wing. I was a wing player, and I don't know why coaches think like that a wing that's like one of your star wings would see you bringing in a freshman like 1 year younger than him and want to show him around town. So they dropped this kid off at my room and they were like, "Yo, show him around. Like, here's a little money. Like, have a good time." I left the kid in my room for 2 days. I gave him the money. I left him in my room for 2 days. I don't even remember his name. But my coaches, I remember him calling me like on Sunday, like, "Hey, can you bring such and such?" I'm like, "Dude, I have not seen that guy in 2 days." And so that was kind of the beginning of the end for me at Boston University. But like, it was so counterintuitive. Why would I show around a guy that you're bringing in and take my job? Makes no sense.
Okay, CB Morning. He says, "Raja, where's your go-to drop point in Fortnite?
Oh.
And have you gotten so close to first where you tell your kids or wife just one more because you're right there?"
I've gotten that close to first where, yes, and that happens. It's almost a daily thing where I'm like, hold on,
give
me.
"Dinner's ready." Yeah, and you're like, no.
"We'll be fine. I got what we're good."
Did you get my text the other day with the dude that's getting paid $500,000 a month to play Fortnite?
That was Ninja, right? Was it
Ninja?
Yeah,
it was on CNBC.
Crazy.
The guy's talking about he gets paid by Twitch to go out there and people watch him play. That's what you need to do, man. You're putting all this time in. Get some sponsors out there.
Yeah, right. That's all my son Dia needed to hear, because I was sitting there with my wife when I showed it to her, and he like that's all he wants is a YouTube channel where he can game and show people what he does. And he it's like I'm fighting it with every fiber of my being, but that's all I needed. Drop points depends if I'm playing squad or solo. Like if I'm playing solo, I like to go to lonely. You grab the chest at the top of the tower. There's another chest right outside the door. Then you hop down. There's a chest in the little shed right there. And then I like to run over to the racetrack where I can pick up a couple more chests on my way back into the storm, because usually the storm's forming somewhere else. If I'm playing squad, I need a little bit more loot because you can't share all that loot with four people. So I like to drop into Pleasant Park. I'm not a Tilted dude. There's too much going on in Tilted. I'm not that quick on the trigger.
You lost me so hard.
So Pleasant.
Right? You're here now. Mm-hmm. Like, great relationship with South Florida. We get to go golfing. Like, we got Debo.
Uh-huh.
Warm weather all year round.
Yeah.
Are there any hard feelings towards your former employer?
Yes. Absolutely are. Yes. I'd be lying if I said there weren't. It's kind of like you got dumped by a hot girl.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it really is. It was hard. Initially, I wouldn't watch. I'd be like, I don't want to watch these shows that I used to be on.
Yeah.
Because it was my dream job. Like, I got my dream job. I was there. Loving it, having a blast every single day, and then got completely blindsided. And one of the things that made it really hard was I had been cut a lot. Like I've been cut in the NFL.
Yeah.
I've been cut in baseball. I've been cut from teams. I've been fired before. But that was always by myself. Like, you know, I could deal with it by myself.
Yeah.
This one impacted my family. That was probably the hardest part about it, because I had a family that my kids were in school in Connecticut. And, you know, my wife was thrilled when I got canned. Like, that was one of the bright sides. She's like, "We get to move.
Like,
we don't have to
out.
Live here right. anymore." That was really tough. But it's a really weird dynamic, because I still have really good friends, like people that I worked with. I love the people that work at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them, and I want them to succeed. But now there's a competitive nature of me that wants to prove ESPN wrong, that wants them to fail, that
right.
wants me – you know, I want to – like, when we're – you know, launching a digital network, I want to be better than ESPN. Like, all those types of emotions come up. But I think they're human
sure.
emotions, right? So I think, yeah, there are some hard feelings. But ultimately, I'm thankful for the opportunity that I was given. Like, because
yeah.
they can make – ESPN can make a star of anybody. And they – I mean, I don't want to call myself a star, but you're on ESPN, you have a voice.
Right.
And it's regardless. And there are some people on there now, I'm looking, I'm like, why are these people – how do they get this opportunity? And I was that person. I'm sure a lot of people were looking at me 5 years
I was.
Ago saying, who is this guy? Why? What does he have to say that's better than me?
No, but real really talk, isn't. I look at the basketball. I look at the basketball sometimes,
absolutely.
And I wonder, like, you know, like, why him?
Right.
Not that I'm better, but I know other people that are, certainly.
Absolutely.
You know?
And a lot of it has to do with relationships. You talk to the right people. You kiss the right butt. You can get on there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can make you a star.
Yeah.
They'll put you out there, and your voice is heard nationally. So, yeah, there's some awkward feelings.
But over it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm happy now. There are moments when I'll watch and be like, man, I missed that show.
Right.
But happy to be in Florida. I think I'm having a ton of fun on this podcast with you, with all the different things that I'm doing. I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun.
From Gulp BS, just had a baby boy, Noah, 6 months ago.
Congrats.
Congrats. How young is too young to start him on a path to the NFL draft? You both have kids that seem to love sports. How do I make sure that is the case with him as well?
Oh, you might be asking the wrong one. I don't know. I don't think, look.
Massage his hamstrings now with like tiger's milk.
Start stretching him from his crib, putting him on a rack, start getting him longer. You know, I don't know how young is too young to start like having him enjoy sports and having a ball and just, you know, my baby girl, my only girl is like 1.5 years old and she loves to run around and grab the basketballs that her brothers are playing with and kick a soccer ball. And if the balls are just around at that age and they have it, like if they take to them, like it's great. And then, you know,
6 months old,
you can start training them when they're like two.
Put a cone drill and you have like snacks that are right next to the cone drill and have them going back and forth. I would say, don't stress it at this age.
Yeah, man.
But my dad often, I asked him, like, did you do anything different with me? He was same with you. Like, yeah, you have toys, which are essentially balls nowadays, and you kind of have them playing, have them available so they can go there. And if you love sports, your kid probably will do. Sports. And if your kid doesn't love sports, that's okay, too. Like, don't try to push it on them, force it on them, because I think that's what can turn off a lot of kids.
Better message. I think your better message was, dude, at 6 months old, enjoy every moment of that. Exactly. It goes by quick.
Another parenting question from our guy, CB Morning, always coming through for us. So he says, me being a dad, what is a good ratio of friend to dad? What's too much?
So I think some of the worst parents in the world are the ones that try to be best friends with their kid.
Yeah.
There's a time to be a dad and there's a time to be a best friend. And that's just a judgment call because you have to have some sort of authority to discipline them, to tell them when they're wrong. And there's going to be times. And I think it's only going to get worse for us as our kids get to be teenagers in the next few years. Because my kids still look up to me now, like they think I'm this hero, and like they worship everything I do.
Right.
In about 2 or 3 years,
good for you, bro. You still got that?
Yeah. In about 2 to 3 years, it's going to be you don't know what you're talking about, Dad. So I'm soaking that up. But you've got to be ready to stand your ground.
Yeah, I agree. I think like my dad and I are really good friends now.
My dad and I are now are best friends.
Correct.
But we had some disagreements.
Absolutely.
To say the least.
I think when they're young, it's important to establish the dad son relationship, and there's got to be a respect level that you establish and you discipline and stuff like that. And as they start getting older and you've established that, you know, then you can start, as they get older, they're going to need some kind of friend, not a best friend. That's what the kids are for, but he's going to need a friend at home too, or she'll need a friend at home that you can, that they can talk and open up to about stuff. So I agree with you, dude. It's specific to everybody's, their own family and relationship.
Raja's dad's a cool cat. It's tough to find a dad as cool as him.
Nice.
Yeah, he's
love
a,
that guy.
Yeah. Arbel.
From Moist Towelette 99, he says, my only wish is this show dropped episodes daily. Aw, thank you. Question, what is the most underrated small market city you visited while playing in the pros and why?
Ooh. So NFL, you basically all are in pretty big markets, right? I mean, I played in Green Bay. I would say a preseason game, I played against Green Bay Packers. It was in Madison, Wisconsin, which is where University of Wisconsin was. Madison is a really cool town. Like, it's a cool college town.
Yep.
I really liked that. The fans were great, and it was August, so it was perfect weather.
Yeah, that's
dope. I would not want to be stuck there in December.
We also played preseason up in Vancouver. I don't know that that's a small market, but Vancouver
is a cool town.
So cool. But Portland. I like Portland, Oregon. I mean, they always have the Nike headquarters out there. The weather
you're
is,
a Nike guy, right?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, you get that employee store.
But Adidas is out there, too.
That's right.
So, like, you had your pick. Like, really good restaurants. Pretty, like, very pretty scenery. Not always the best weather, but I kind of like Portland out there. Like, low-key, Portland.
I feel like you go to Portland and get, like, acai bowls only.
Yeah. They
go for hikes.
Do yoga.
Have granola.
Okay, from Bobby P05, question for Raja. He says, what really went down when Jerry Sloan retired? We all know it was D. Will that was the problem, but just want to hear you confirm it.
I can't really speak to D. Will being the problem because that all happened when I was in Phoenix. But what happened that night was Jerry Sloan called a play called 4-up, which is a specific play to the right-hand side of the court. The same exact play can be ran to the left side of the court, and it's called, like, 4-down. So Jerry called 4-up. We went out for the jump ball,
and Darren changes to four down because I think it was Paul Millsap or Al Jefferson. They liked the ball on the other side of the block. So essentially it's the same play, same guys getting the ball. He just flipped the sides. So we play the whole first half. Jerry seething.
Because of that.
No one knows why. So we come in at halftime, and we're losing to the Bulls. It was Kyle Korver and those guys. Kurt Thomas was with the Bulls at the time. And Jerry says, like, if you're going to change my effing play, at least give me the courtesy and let me know you're going to change it. So he's been holding this till like halftime. So I'm sitting next to Greg Miller. He's like the owner now. He's sitting next to me, and Jerry and Darren are like yelling at each other across the hallway. And so Darren says something to the effect of like, yeah, I hear you, bro. Like, you got the power, but I got the juice. Something like crazy. And he looks over at Greg Miller. He's like, oh, I got to talk to you. So they go in the back. Right? And they go, and you're like, uh-oh, it's about to pop off. So Jerry is like, you're not having a meeting without me. So he runs behind there, too. So it's the three of them in the back, and you just hear, and blah, 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 blah. So we go back out to halftime. Nobody knows what to do to start the second half. Darren comes over. He's like, yo, man, I just told him, like if this ain't going to work, they just need to get me out of here. I was like, look, dog, let's finish this game. Let's play ball. So the whole second half, this is going to be a long-winded story, but it's a good story. Whole second half. Jerry's looking at me and saying, hey, you tell Darren we need to run thumb up. And Darren will look over at me and say, you tell Jerry that we're going to run 43, whatever. And so I'm in the middle of this the whole second half. We lose the game. We come in after the game's over. They're not yelling at each other anymore. But Jerry Sloan, we have a thing in Utah where you bring it in after everybody says 1, 2, 3, jazz. So we bring it in, and Jerry Sloan, livid. He goes, 1, 2, 3, good luck. And everybody looked around like, did he just say good luck? Next morning, I come in for treatment.
Done.
Jerry Sloan has already announced his resignation.
Bounced.
At 8:30 in the morning, I'm there on time. He's been there since 7:30 and has announced his resignation. I didn't see him again the rest of the season. 2, 3 weeks later, we're sitting in a training room in Dallas. Darren next to me on the couch getting treatment. ESPN ticker goes across. Darren Williams traded to the Nets. I look at Darren. He looks at me, and he's like, yeah, dude, I'll be right back. And no one has told him he's gotten traded. He finds out. Yeah, crazy. Oh, crazy.
I love the 1, 2, 3, good luck. Oh, that's almost
1, 2, 3, good luck.
Was it the Clippers like that said 1, 2, 3, Baja? Like, they had their off-season vacation already planned, and they were doing that in the thing?
Jerry Sloan was a thug, though. He was a thug.
All right, last one. What do you got?
All right. Oh, my gosh. I can't say any of these people's names. Mugen? 420. He says, I'm 6'5". This is absurd, guys. Get ready. All right. I'm 6'5", and I used to play basketball in my day, but now that day is gone, and I work in a normal office setting. I get asked daily how tall I am. My dad taught me to lose the 6-foot measure and use 5 feet plus, like I'm 5'17". Ha ha. I've been using lately and realizing how dumb my coworkers are. Should I just say that I'm 6'5", or keep the stupidity rolling?
Bro. I'm going to guess our boy is single.
Bruh.
There's a reason he has 420 in his name.
Yeah, that too. Very good observation, Debo. I would leave that joke in 1985.
I lost 20 seconds of my life I'm never going to get back. Also, like, just saying you're like 5 anything. Also, just like, who cares? Who gives one actual... Sorry.
Hannah doesn't like to hear the 5, though.
I don't like to hear the 5. If I ask your height and it starts with 5, I'm already sleeping.
You're out? Oh, you can't be 5'11"?
No. I'm 5'9".
Oh, you are 5'9". Yeah, true that.
I prefer like 6'4 and up.
Word.
Yeah. So you at 6'5".
So you're saying Mugan's 420 has a chance.
Mugan, don't. 6'5". Until he says he's 5'17". And then
yeah, until he says he's 5'17", I'd be like, are you out of your damn mind? Somebody said that to me. Anyways, sorry, bro.
But K Lewis 083 says, would love some hockey talk to be included in the
Boom,
show.
We gave it to you earlier.
Here you go. So this one, going along with the last one, if your chosen sport allowed fighting like hockey, which opponent would you have been likely to drop the gloves against?
It's a good one. Probably, yeah, Kobe and I would have dropped the gloves. I mean, that's obvious. Yeah. Everybody kind of knows that. But Manu, I would have liked to beat Manu's ass. I would have liked to whoop his ass because he was just like, he was really good, number one. So there was a level of frustration, but he was dirty. Like, he separated my ribs with a little nasty elbow. He's always acting like you were, like, hitting him when he was hitting you. And so I probably wanted
to. I would say there would have to be a rule on this one in the football. It'd have to be quarterback specific. Like, you'd only be the other quarterback because I wouldn't want a part of anybody else.
Right.
And it'd probably like, kind of similar like Tom Brady. Like, yeah. It'd be like this level of somebody needs to punch him in the face, right? Like.
All right.
We got a lot of good ones, right, Hannah?
Our guy, CB Morning, really came in with a ton of questions. He was tweeting at us yesterday, and he was like, do y'all need questions? And I didn't really answer, but he delivered. So he said, you have a movie being made about your life and how you got to where you are now. Who's playing you in the movie?
I mean, hello. It's got to be Brad Pitt.
I love it.
Is there any doubt?
I love it. Who's playing you in a movie? This is a tough question.
Yeah. What actors can who?
Who would I want to play me in a movie?
Who would you go with?
I don't know.
I will say, like, most black guys say Denzel.
Denzel. He's too old. Like, he's too old. Yeah, yeah, he's too old.
I was going to say that about Brad Pitt.
That's,
it could be anyone. Who cares?
I want noted actor Ray Allen to play Rajah Bell.
Oh, that's such a low blow. That is such a low blow.
As someone pointed out on Twitter, Ray Allen is just Rajah Bell with a your personality.
Yeah, oh, that's fantastic.
That was amazing.
So you guys don't have
any Michael B. Jordan. Or,
that's
or,
solid. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's a good one, right?
That is a good one.
All right, this one from ATD28Rams. My question is, what advice would you give someone looking to get into the sports reporting or broadcasting field? Also, Danny, can I expect to see you in Tallahassee for the spring game?
Heck yeah, you know why.
Vanilla Ice, Salt and Pepper, performing in Doak after
and
the
game. And DJ Rob Bass. Don't forget Rob Bass. What? That. Yeah, we need to take the podcast on the road to Tallahassee that weekend.
Rob Bass.
When Vanilla Ice was going off, and this was in your, we were down in Miami when he was legit. I may or may not have put the lines in my inside head.
I went to a Vanilla Ice concert.
Did you really?
MC Hammer and Vanilla Ice. 1991, maybe? Miami Arena? 91, 92,
oh,
something
like that.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
I bet that place was bumping.
It was
banana
cakes.
Going off. Yeah. Absolutely. So back to the first question, what advice for sports broadcasting? I think it's really easy. I think take whatever job you can get and get as many reps as you can. Build a resume tape. And don't have an ego. And, like, if you have to go do some local radio, if you have to do some student broadcasting, student channel at your college or high school, do that. Whatever you can do to work on camera. The best thing for that is to get experience, get comfort level working on camera behind a microphone.
Yeah, I got nothing to add to that. I just take every rep you can get.
Okay, this is a good one. Midwest Cam says, I'm not a parent yet. This is an interesting concern for someone who's not even a parent yet. Okay. I'm not a parent yet, but y'all both are, so I'm wondering, are there things you silently hoped your kids wouldn't get into to interest-wise? What? So you wouldn't have to go to those events, act like you care, spend money on, etc. I know the PC. What does PC mean?
Politically correct.
Oh. I know the politically correct and probably truthful answer is you'll support them no matter what, but let's keep it real between us. So
what
basically,
got,
what are things you don't look forward to?
I exposed both my kids to T-ball very early, and I hated it. And so I was really praying that neither one of them would want to play baseball because it is just so boring and slow at the young age when they're playing T-ball and they only let them go from one base to the other. So that one sucked. And then my wife wanted them to learn how to dance. So she was like, let's put them in some hip-hop dance classes. And I was like, under no circumstances will my kids be going into hip-hop dance because I am not going to watch them dance at halftime of some like Miami Heat game. No, it's not happening. My kids. I was so afraid that my kids were going to be like on the dancing.
It?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, I did all these things. I have to just say, first of all, T-ball was my very first sport,
sure.
And I wanted to be in it so badly I joined the all-boys team. And guess where I was? I was the pitcher. I was the pitcher.
That's a very important. It's a very important position in T-ball, though.
I literally sat there.
Because the balls come right back to the pitcher.
Yeah. Whatever.
Right.
They didn't.
No.
You get all the plays. So I have a slightly different reason for the hip-hop classes, because my wife wanted to do it. My daughters, I have all girls. They were begging me to do it. It's way too sexual. I don't want my daughters out there learning all these moves where they're shaking their
booty shaking and stuff. Right. No, I hear you.
Exactly. I don't want them doing all that garbage.
I didn't want my sons doing it.
As far as sports go, and I know this might not be good for Rajah's wife, who was an incredible soccer player in college. My wife was a soccer player and won some national championships in high school. But soccer, I did not want to have to watch soccer games. I don't know if there's a more boring sport to watch. And not only that, but in every sport nowadays. I don't know what it is now. It used to be on the weekends. I'd have one game, maybe two. Now, at 9 and 10 years old, they're having these all-day affairs where you play jamborees and you play 18 games in one day.
No.
So you're there, and you have to be there at 7 a.m. and you don't leave till 6 p.m. at night.
No, it's
ridiculous. But I would say soccer is the one sport. The other one that my daughter does, and I'm not too pumped about it now that I've been to a bunch of them, is swimming. And I love swimming, but it's a hard watch. And swim meets, They're another one that take forever.
Yeah, it's
to
an
get
all day
done.
Thing. Yeah, all day.
All right, I'm going to take over for a quick second because our guy, Rob from ATL, one of our top, I'm going to say top two followers, has a question for Hannah. And he asks, one of my Twitter followers is a babe and keeps favoriting my tweets. Should I slide into those DMs?
Yes, but don't ask that question again. Just do it. Just do it. Don't say slide into those DMs. Just shoot your shot. Just send the message.
I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
For Rob. If a girl's favoriting all his tweets, isn't that her like basically begging for him to slide into the DMs?
It's her saying she's interested. Right. I've done that move where I'll like a guy's Instagram photos. Like I'll like four of them.
From 37 weeks ago.
Yeah. No, right. No, seriously. I'll right. Like a couple.
Yeah, right. Just so it pops up. Bing, bing, bing,
yeah, out. Just so and he sees like, it. Yeah. And then he's like, oh, who's this girl? Oh, she's interested.
Shout
that's out. Worked.
There you go.
There you go.
So I say shoot your shot.
All right.
Come on, Rob. Get it done,
go
baby.
For it, Rob. I support it. Okay, so
and
this
wear
one.
Wear that turtleneck while you're doing
yes,
it.
Yes, wear the turtleneck. All right, so this one's for Danny and Raja. It says, give me one good pickup line. Otherwise, I'm going with, hey, I'm going to Kroger. You want anything? This is still from Rob from ATL.
I don't have any pickup lines. I was never the pickup line guy, but I'll tell you who is. This is real talk. My godson, his name's Aiden Durkak. He's 10 years old, lives in Colonia, New Jersey. Real talk. This kid's got the nicest like pickup lines you'll ever like. It's real talk.
What?
And he
like,
shoots
give me one.
At like I don't know because I don't really use them. But his dad
it's
will
just
send
the confidence.
Me. But listen, I went to a game when I was up there for like the Christmas break. He's 10. I mean, he shoots shots at like 14, 15-year-olds. Like, he's a tough little dude, man. Swag off the charts.
Here's the thing. I think Hannah hit it on the head. You have to be confident.
Yeah.
I think pickup lines are cheesy, and I think most girls will see through them. If you try the pickup line route, it better be good, or you get shot down in a hurry.
With a bit of
I
humor?
No, I think what you it better be funny.
Yeah,
because if you miss on a pickup line, you're going to look like a tool.
A real jack.
I say just go up and start a conversation. Like, hey, how are you guys doing? Like, what's going on?
Right.
You know, like just,
oh, hey, what are you drinking? Or, hey, like anything.
Can I buy you a drink?
Right.
Like something.
Yeah.
You can tell instantly if she's either interested or not. If she says no, then be like, all right, no big deal.
Right.
Like, go ahead. Enjoy your night.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. Keep it moving. Exactly.
Yeah, don't come up with something creative. Just be
don't.
Confident. It's all, no,
it, well,
no
if
don't.
If you do, it better be
just
good.
Just be normal. Right. It better be really good.
Right.
Word. So
huge
Danny,
fan base growing.
Apparently, you were one hell of a baseball player as well. Do you ever wish you played baseball instead of football?
I do. I wish all the time that I played baseball
really?
And football. Yeah, I was a better baseball player than I was a football player.
Huh?
I played it since the time I was two.
Yeah.
Football, I didn't start till I was a junior in high school, so I was late to the game. I felt like that always held me back. But the one thing that I look at baseball, I think it's the hardest sport to actually make it to the major leagues because of the process you have to go through. You have to go through three levels of AAA, like, you know, single A, double A, triple A. So you don't get, like, you know, we're talking about basketball. If you show down some good tape, like,
go.
Just bounce.
Yeah.
You don't have that luxury in baseball. Like, you have to earn it. Then, and the NBA's come more, it's an international game. Like,
right.
You're competing against guys from all over the world. The NFL, to get there, you're only competing against America. Like, there's not many international players. So, yeah, I kind of look at it, and I gave it a run. I tried to do both at Florida State. Didn't work, like timing-wise, it was just brutal.
Yep.
Didn't get to play much. I tried to go back and play minor league baseball. That was more for fun because I'd already played in the NFL, and it was just like kind of a little like – it was like a side project. Like I had a blast doing it. But I sometimes wish, I'm like, what would have happened if I would have played baseball instead of football?
From Traumarama JW, Danny and Raja, how did you meet your wives? And Hannah Debo, have you ever used your sports lore and fame to score yourself a date?
Debo, you dropping the Kennell and Bell podcast at dates at the bars?
Thanks, guys.
I'm sure that'll go a long way.
But how'd you guys meet your wives?
I met my wife. I transferred to FIU from Boston University, and so I met her like the first day I saw her in the parking lot. And I kind of asked, and they're like, oh, yeah, she got a boyfriend. He's like the goalie of soccer team is USA. I was like, yeah, don't worry about that. We're straight. So no, he wound up leaving school and like he was a year ahead. So I wound up kind of sliding in there. And the funny thing was we started talking one day and she was like, I'm from Long Island. I was like, oh, where'd you go to Walt Whitman High School? Because a lot of the guys on the Boston University team where I was coming from had went to Walt Whitman High School. It's the only school I knew on Long Island. And she was like, yeah, I went to Walt Whitman. What the hell's wrong? Are you reading my bio? Like, are you stalking me? I was like, no, dude, I know John Brennan and Jimmy Schwartz, and they were already friends of hers, so it was small world type of stuff. So,
did you know you were going to marry her from the minute you saw her?
Nah.
Right.
No,
so
I mean,
don't tell them Valentine's Day is right around. No, the story. I love it. Don't
my,
look, it.
No, I mean, I wasn't at that point in my life where I was looking to like marry somebody or even think about that at the time. So, but I knew when I saw her, like, that was the first question I asked, like, who's that?
Right.
And I want to know that. I want to know.
Similar story. I was actually later, so it was later in life, but I was working out at LA Fitness.
Right.
And I was going to this kickboxing class, and it was, if you are a single dude, Debo, you need to go to LA Fitness, go to one of the places, go to the kickboxing class. It was probably 30 people in the class. Mm-hmm. I was the only dude every time. Like, there might have been one other guy that was there, and he wasn't competition, if you know what I'm saying. So my wife was in the class, and so I'd see her, and I'd, you know, kind of give her the look, and you glance at each other, so I wanted to meet her. So I went up, actually. There's a little stretching area under the stairs at LA Fitness, so I started stretching next to her. I was like, what's up? You know, how you doing? What did you think of the class and all that stuff? So, again, she had a boyfriend as well. Wasn't worried about it. You can't worry about those types of things. But later she told me that she thought two things. One, because I was in the kickboxing class. One, that I was gay.
Yeah.
Or that I was dating the instructor. Because I used to be friendly with the instructors, too, because I was one of the only dudes to go.
Right.
And the instructor wasn't bad looking either. And thankfully, I wasn't with the instructor, because I don't know if I would have met, you know, would have been with my wife. But my wife gets a little bit mad at me because she says that she knew when she saw me, and I don't reciprocate those feelings.
Right.
But I was attracted to her, and I thought she was hot, but I needed to get to know somebody.
We're wired a little
different. But her, like, being that romantic, like, deep down inside, she wishes I would have said, she's the one.
I don't think my wife wouldn't say that. Like,
she wouldn't?
No, I don't think she'd say that.
This one, I have a bone to pick with this catfished Nathan Peterman. Okay. He says, would love to see you on screen with video clips in the future. Great. Awesome. My question: who would win a 2-on-2 basketball game between Raja and Hannah versus Danny and Eric? What's the pick and prop on it? Okay, before we get going, I just have to say, Nathan freaking Peterman, why am I with Raja? That means, I'm sorry, Raja, I know you're great, but this just automatically means that I suck the most.
No.
If I put with you.
No.
Fair assumption.
I think it's hilarious that you're the one being disrespected by this and not the former NBA player.
No, but listen, I'm just saying, it means that I'm like this person.
Hannah, I'm a better basketball player than you.
No, you're not.
Oh! Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Let's go. We want video clips. Let's give them video clips of you two. Now, I asked you, though, the other day, could you make a layup? And you said no. So, but now you're a hoopster?
I could, though. I just, like, kind of don't, but I could.
But I could. Have you ever?
Listen, if I'm playing with Raja.
No. Have you ever?
Maybe accidentally.
Can you defend? That's the only question.
For sure.
Okay. No chance. No chance.
We got to ask
you. Do you think you could beat me and Eric just without Hannah?
No.
What? How did we get eliminated?
No. I couldn't guard you. No. No. I mean, can you shoot a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Can you
shoot? Is it make it, take it? That's what I was thinking.
I couldn't beat you guys. That's ridiculous.
If we're making shots, because Raja can't defend the post on the shots.
Right. That's the problem.
I just would like to talk to Nathan Peterman exclusively and ask him why he thinks I'm so unathletic.
I challenge you 1-on-1.
Okay. Bam. Whoa. And let's post video of it on Canel and Bell.
Yeah.
From Ryan Stryker, who works here. Ryan, what are you doing? Okay, anyways.
Shout out Ryan.
Yeah, shout out Ryan.
He's giving us 5-star reviews.
I'm sorry, he's giving us 5-star reviews. Thank you, Ryan. I don't know why I'm throwing
King
you
under
the bus there. I can't read. When are we going to see the most anticipated Hannah versus Debo matchup on the court? Guys, I've been avoiding this on purpose.
That's what I'm talking about.
I said 100K on the line. I might need some investors, but I want to play.
100K on the line.
It's got to happen. Right. Make it happen.
Are you out of your mind?
I feel like we need a team competition, we need team bonding, team building experience. Yeah. Like, you know, when they do these corporate retreats.
You know what we should do, Danny? Like, you take one and train one for like a week. I'll take the other and train one for the other week.
Honestly,
and
then we just meet up. I'm untrainable.
I got Debo.
I have fooled everyone. I'm so bad at basketball.
That's a change up from a month ago.
Yeah, you were talking cash.
Yeah,
stuff.
Because I wanted to win and I won. And now I have to admit the truth that I suck, and I'm sorry. This isn't going to happen.
We're going to tighten that game up. Give me a week.
5-star Q&A.
Okay, this guy who has a terrible handle, 1, 2, 3, 4.
And a bunch of fives.
And a bunch of fives. He says, who do you three get mistaken for as athletes or entertainers? Hannah, do you ever get asked if you are Hope Hicks?
Yep. I've seen it.
Matthew McConaughey is nowhere near 6 feet.
Who you got, Danny?
Brad Pitt.
No doubt.
No, you know what's funny is I get a lot of people, it's the Danny Werfel
because he played at Florida, because his first name's Danny, like it happens all the time, especially locally.
Yep.
You posted the motorcycle pic yesterday. Do you know what a lot of people responded to that?
Yeah, who was it? Daniel Tosh, right? Yeah. A lot of people said Daniel Tosh. I hadn't heard that one in a while. Woody Harrelson is another one.
Was really
kind of a, which I don't know if that's good because he's not very good.
I don't
good
know what he looks like.
I get Jason Taylor all the time.
Yeah, we were playing golf. One of the first times we met, the so cart funny. Lady was sitting there and thought you were Jason Taylor.
Yeah, wait, I'm way more handsome than Jason Taylor.
Especially in South
Florida. Jason Taylor, I used to get Leandro Barbosa and Boris Diaw. Like when we played together, people just couldn't tell us apart. They really couldn't. I mean, Phoenix fans could, but no matter where we went, one of us was always mistaken for the other. So
if you got approached with a basketball card and they had one of their cards, what would you do?
Sign it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why if I've had people say, hey, Danny Werfel, I'm signing it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
All right. So I'll go to Arrow Golf Guy. He says, in honor of Sergio almost rinsing two sleeves at 15. What are Danny and Raja's most embarrassing moments on the golf course?
Mine's easy. So I was at Pebble Beach, right? I've only played there once because it was like $400 to play the round, and I'm not into paying that much for golf.
Yeah.
But I was going to go. I was going to get the full experience. I'm like, I want to play the tips. I want to play from where the pros play from.
Right.
So while you're there, there's a bunch of tourists who like to watch. They're coming to get gear. So there's like 50 to 100 people kind of watching what goes on. So the starter comes up to me and he goes, what tees do you want to play? And I was like, I want to play the back. And he's like, well, what's your handicap? And I was like, I'm a 4. And he's like, well, he's like, most people play up, but even if you're pretty good, it's a different course. And he's like trying to talk
me
into
you.
Playing
trying
up front.
To help you. Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I want to play from back here. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah. So I go back there. All these people are like, ooh, who is this guy?
Yes.
Like, maybe he's a pro. Maybe he's a PGA guy playing from back there. Proceed to duff the ball about 20 yards like a worm burner, like over and didn't even make
up.
It to the tees that he wanted me to play.
Fantastic.
And it was thoroughly embarrassing. And the look on the guy's face was like, I told you so.
Yeah, gotcha.
But then I ended up shot 77. So what's up?
There you
and
go.
And I showed the starter my scorecard,
too. Oh, you went back?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
for sure.
Fantastic.
I was going to go out of there like that.
That's fantastic.
You got one?
I played at the World Hero Challenge, like in the Pro-Am with Jimmy Walker, and I had been playing really good the day before, and I just was a basket case of a player the next day, and that was kind of embarrassing for me. Like, the caddy was giving me tips as if I had never played golf before.
That's the worst.
Really good dude, but like I felt really – it was 18 long holes of that bull,
right.
And so that sucked. And then the other time was like we went to Miami Beach and played with a few friends of mine, and I don't know what happened, but I put like 2 balls in the water off the tee. And then I, like, lost 2 balls. So on the first hole, I threw 3 clubs in the lake at Miami Beach. I have 3 clubs at the bottom of the lake at Miami Beach golf course.
I want to go fish those out. So one of our listeners needs to. All right, let's get back to CB Morning. What's Hannah's worst date story? I feel like we already did this one.
Nope.
He asked me, but I didn't answer, which is why he's pressing.
So let's get it on here.
I was thinking about this, and really the only I was never on just like an awful date where I had to leave, but there was one where I just, you know, I knew like 5 minutes in there wasn't going to be a second
How
date.
How tall was he?
He wasn't that tall. He was like 6'1", 6'2".
So what was the exit strategy?
Short.
This was the only
great. I love it.
I know.
It.
I'm sorry. The only bad part about this date and why I had to tell the story was at the end. He tried to make a move. Did I tell the story before?
No.
He went in for
So he like Ubered me back to my place, right?
Yeah.
We get out of the car and I'm like, I'm booking
You're
it.
Done.
Like I'm like, goodbye. Thanks for dinner, whatever. and he gets out of the car with me, you know, walks me to my front door.
Yeah.
Tries to make a move, like what? Tries to kiss me.
Are you back to him and he like, or are you guys like face to face? Like,
we're like
was there a hug?
Like,
there was like a hug and then he like pulled me and
yes.
like wanted to kiss
okay,
me.
There we go.
And
we get
I
it.
Literally, I like put my hand up.
Oh, you Heisman? No. You gave him the Heisman?
And I was like, I'm sorry. I just did not want, like,
how
I
can
was
dudes
not
have that bad
it.
Of a feel?
No, but listen,
yeah, seriously,
then
right?
Then he tries again.
Oh,
and
after
I
the Heisman?
Yes, after. You gotta give him that.
Was he drunk?
No, and I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm just not, like, I'm not feeling it. And then he goes, this is the worst part. We're at my front door. He goes, okay, get home safe.
You're literally right there at your door.
I remember I just shut the door so fast and I, like, he's, like, wincing. Like, oh, the poor guy that sucks.
This dude.
How bad do you have to feel if you just got Heisman twice and then said, get home safe?
Debo, can we get him as a guest? I feel like we need to get this guy on the podcast. Like, we need to have a conversation with him and help
this
guy.
How he's doing now,
I don't
bro.
Even know if I still have his number saved.
How long ago was this?
It was, like, 2 years ago. It was like my friends were like, "You gotta go. He's the coolest
guy."
If a girl wants a kiss,
she'll let it be known. Like you can.
Oh,
tell.
Oh my god, for sure.
Yes, like if it's not so there,
because
I've
always
had some
make
dates.
The first move when it comes to kissing.
My wife actually kissed me first.
Yes,
but like, I'll, like go for the hug and then like let them like I don't know.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, 5-star Q&A.
Yeah, but before we get to 5-star Q&A, I just need Debo to tell us a little story that he shared with me.
Oh, yeah.
About a first date he had this week.
All right, I'm going to regret doing this. I'm going to get a lot of questions from my mom. Thank you for listening, Mom. Went on a date this week. I have a history of back in like high school, middle school, a little bit queasy, passing out a few times in those days in health class. This aforementioned date started to bring up just a little bit of a medical condition. Wasn't too serious. I got queasy, got lightheaded, got cold. My body went numb. I told her to stop talking, and I needed a minute. And that's about it. That's all I got.
Wait.
I just had to spit that out real quick.
You passed out on her?
Not a full pass out, but I was very close. If she kept talking, I was going to hit the floor.
Now, this is something that happens with you? Like, you have a condition?
It's been a long, long time. And it was more, like, health class related. And it wasn't even, like, a serious thing. I just... I don't know if it was nerves.
He told me this yesterday.
She freak out?
She said she was highly offended.
Highly offended. Jesus.
I'm excited to hear about the potential date number two. Let me tell you, if that happened, date number one.
Danny, what are you putting the picks and props on the odds of a date number two?
I'm going to say slim to none. If she was freaked out and offended by it, for sure.
Yeah.
From Jin, ASU alum, do either of you have... Okay, so this is to you and to Raja, but Raja just stepped out. So, Danny, do you have a favorite child? My wife and I are thinking about starting a fam. Any advice? What should I be doing so I don't get yelled at or have her angry at me?
Ooh, that's a good one. So the favorite child thing, obviously you can't say yes, but I will say this.
Wait, do you have a favorite child?
No. So here's what I'll tell you. I love all three of my daughters, but at times... they'll be into things, they'll act a certain way that I will have a favorite week or two or a month even, because sometimes they're better behaved and they're more fun to be around. Other time they can be brats. Like, I love them all equally, mm-hmm. but sometimes I like hanging out with one or
right.
one of them more.
Like
than
you like
another.
To do one activity with one, shopping yes. with this one,
right?
Shooting
golfing
hoops
with
one, that one,
swimming
right.
with another, shooting hoops.
Right.
Like, so they kind of. They fluctuate how you
that
go.
That makes sense.
But I think what I try to do, and I think the reason it fluctuates is so that I don't give too much attention to one. Like, mm-hmm. I'll love playing golf with my one. I'm like, uh-oh, the middle one feels left out. So I'll go swim with her. And then I'm like, uh-oh, the youngest one, she's feeling jealous. So I'll take her to go get candy or something. Like, so I try to keep them all
That's
happy.
Good.
So the question about what do I do not to have get yelled at or have her angry at me, it's going to happen when you have kids. So just get ready for it, because it's a life changer, obviously. Just let it go. Just be willing
just
to say, I'm sorry. Be willing to say you're right. And then talk about it after. Don't yell back, because that will just escalate and it'll get ugly from there. Let cooler heads prevail, and then you kind of hash it out later.
I will say, we asked and you guys deliver. These questions are way better than last week. So, all right. First one is from Kosh J. He said, how are you guys enjoying this podcast together? Has there been any discussion of a more permanent radio spot?
Ooh. I'm having
what
a blast.
Nice,
I'm
what
having
a delightful
blast.
Question.
I will say this. We recently went a big change on the podcast, a time change.
That sucked.
But we've been doing it for the people, though. We've been trying to get
I'm
it
just being honest.
The
that sucked. Like, at 5:30 wake up. Who would else? Like, that's for the birds, dog.
It's early, but that's what we do for bench warmers. We get up so they can
we
get
love
on
you guys.
Their way to work. That's the
that's
type
right.
of sacrifice we make.
Sacrifice.
Last topic we got to get to is one of the last 5-star Q&A questions. Eric, do you want to tee us up on this one?
Yeah. So yesterday or today, the Cypher King Eminem dropped an album, and our guy Tubbs34 asked, "Who wins in a Cypher battle? And can we hear that on the podcast?" Now, before we get to this, Danny Cannell, professional football player, professional podcaster, professional rapper.
Yeah. Whoa! crowd goes nuts. They're just saying he slayed him. He slayed him. A couple questions for you, Raja.
Yep.
I'm getting older, right?
Yes.
I'm getting a little bit more out of touch, but I feel like I'm still kind of in tune to what's going on with the culture, right?
Yep.
I did not know what a cipher was 6 months ago.
Really?
Have you heard cipher a long time as a freestyle? Like, have you been aware of that term?
Yes.
Longer than 5 years ago?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, because ciphers have been around. Like, they're different levels of ciphers. Like, there's
yeah.
Like when we were in college, cipher meant two different things. But yes, I've been aware of the term cipher for a while.
All right. I maybe was kind of heading my sand. Yeah, I didn't know what it was.
Hey, you better get your rap lingo up, bro.
I better, but I knew I could still win. All right, that's a wrap for us. Hope you guys enjoyed the 5-star Q&A best of episode. Hope you guys had a safe weekend. Travel home safe. Raja and I will be back in studio to break down all the NBA action. Make sure you check us out. And as always, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Kanell and Bell.